This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. It's only a couple of days into 2015, and you're already struggling to keep your New Year's resolutions, right? Well, you're not alone. It's estimated that less than 10% of New Year's resolutions are successful. Successful meaning you make it to the end of the year. And one of my most often heard reasons for not staying on that diet, or you're not going to the gym, or you've stopped your smoking resolution already, is I just don't have the willpower. I want to, I just don't have the willpower. It's as if there's a source of willpower you can dip into, but you just can't find it. It could be that you have too much of something else. You could have too much stress. Joining me now to talk about the impact stress can have on your New Year's resolution is Amit Sood. He's a professor of medicine with the Complementary and Integrative Medicine Program at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Welcome to the program, Dr. Sood.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Can stress really affect your ability to keep your New Year's resolutions?
Absolutely. Stress is your brain's saying you, I'm overloaded to the point of hurting. So when you're physically hurting, you take Tylenol. When your brain is hurting, you comfort your brain with calories and tobacco or something else. Stress puts you into this primitive survival mode. It makes you impulsive and distracted and a bit like zombie, and sometimes even downright stupid. And all of that impacts your ability to self-regulate.
Is the stress coming from the season itself? Where is the stress coming from?
Well, part of it is coming from holiday stress. We overcommit, we overindulge, we make promises that we are not able to keep. The weather at this time is winter. If you're lonely, then you're reminded that you're lonely. So all of that impacts our stress and makes it worse.
So give us some tips then for keeping our resolutions stress-free. How can we reduce that stress?
I think the first is to keep it realistic. If you overcommit, if you plan on losing 50 pounds in 4 weeks, then you're going to hurt yourself in that process. So keep it simple, keep it specific, bring it down to some specific steps that you're going to take. Have a partner, have somebody who's helping you with that process. Put meaning behind it, put emotions behind it. And then for everything that you're doing, take one thing off your table. Do not overcommit.
Oh, so have a list of things not to do rather than...
Absolutely. One of the recent tweets I sent was, for the new year, as you make to-do list, make also a not-to-do list.
Like what? Like I won't eat?
I will check emails every hour. I have to say yes to every invitation, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. I will not check emails every hour. I will not check Facebook. I will not do these kinds of things that subliminally I think I have to do to be successful.
Yeah, we sometimes feel compelled. If I have an email, I should respond to it even before I receive that email. And we are reactive to that process. Most of the time, hurry is internal. If we could become patient, if we could be kind to ourselves and remove this pressure to multitask each time and insert some, you know, boring time too during the day when you're just sitting and talking.
Yeah, I know that you're big on mindfulness. Would that be a good technique that maybe that's a New Year's resolution? I will try to be more, you know, do some more mindfulness and just relax and you know, be in the moment.
The key thing here is being present and being intentional. So you don't just have to be always in the moment, but you are intentional about what you're attending, what you're processing, what you're focusing on. So you could be in the past or future, which is necessary for somebody who is busy. But as long as you're intentional, so instead of thinking happening to you, you choose your thoughts.
Are there apps now that could help us do these things?
There are many meditation apps. There are apps that can help with resolutions. The key, however, is, and apps are a good tracking. They are good feedback devices. They help provide quick tips, etc. But the key is for you to find a partner. Have a person. Have an app as a person who is real life, who you go back and forth with, who you work with to make the change.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to bring on Kit Easton. Kit Easton is a columnist for the New York Times, and he writes the App Smart column, and he may have some suggestions for apps that might help us keep our resolutions. Hi, Keith. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there. Thanks.
What can you suggest? So finding partners who have the same resolution, perhaps, as we do, so that we can get some, we can help one another?
I think that's a great idea. There's an app that's exactly designed to do this. It's called Coach.me. It used to be called Lyft. And as well as motivating you to try and stick to your goal by gently reminding you, you know, every morning, don't forget you've got to run, you know, half a mile today or something. It connects to a whole community of users who are trying to achieve the same goal. It might be something like joining a gym or losing 5 pounds, you know, by the end of the next month or something.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of peer pressure is good then?
Personally, I found it's great. I mean, I use Lyft to achieve a number of my goals last year. I like the idea of just having someone in your pocket, a bit like Amit said, someone who you can connect to. It's digitally for sure, but you can just log into the app and see the community that's going on, and then someone can compliment you on achieving your daily goal. It's just like a little gentle reminder, a little bit of gentle positive feedback.
Amit, haven't we learned from social communities that having your friends think the same way you do or prodding you is really, really does work sometimes?
No doubt. The behaviors are infectious. So you can catch stress just as you can catch flu. And you can catch weight gain. You can catch smoking. And you can also catch weight loss and quitting smoking from your friends. Friends are very, very powerful. And then there's siblings and colleagues and other loved ones. So absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Kate, you write about another category of apps, ones that quantify your physical activity as a way to spur you on. Give us a few good ones there.
Well, there are a couple of great apps that you can have on your phone that almost constantly monitor what you're doing. I mean, my favorite one I actually lost more than a few kilos last year with is called Breeze. And it's not intrusive. It doesn't nag you particularly. It just sits on your phone and monitors how many steps you're taking a day. Now, there's this rough guideline that you're supposed to take about 10,000 steps every day to keep fit and lose a little bit of weight. And Breeze just sits there and it notices what you're doing. So in the morning, if you went for an early walk, it might pop up with a little notification and say, oh, I notice you're doing an earlier walk today than usual. Well done. Keep going. You'll get to that target earlier than usual.
So it's also not just tracking you, but it's giving you some positive reinforcement feedback.
It's very cleverly written to positively motivate you and not nag you, not, you know, like an overly aggressive fitness coach, you know. that's not its move.
Amit, that's a good thing, not to be totally nagged all the time, because you'll just ignore
Absolutely.
It, right?
Absolutely. It you know, I always believe that shaming will never work. It's only inspiring that works.
Mm-hmm. Is there a bad way, Amit, to use these apps? Are there apps you might depend too much on?
Well, I think if you give complete control externally, I think that's one problem. Two is, I think if you focus too much on competing with the app instead of using it as a collaborator. One of the challenges is change takes time for it to give reward. If you try to lose weight, the weighing scale will start moving in a little bit of time. So we need those interim feedbacks, and that is what this feedback approach provides us. But if we remove that and if we sort of start competing with the app and become too tight, then we will increase our stress.
Okay, Kit, do you have a resolution this year?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's to keep a journal, believe it or not, because as a writer, I should really try and write down what I'm doing every day, but I rarely manage to try and do it. So I'm actually using an app called Day One to keep a digital journal in my pocket. I've got a personal contact who's a friend who's also trying the same thing. So we're going to ring each other up and try and motivate each other to keep going.
Amit, is an app a good way to reduce stress? A journal app, keeping notes of what's going on.
Absolutely. I think that'll be a great idea to express your thoughts, because when you're journaling through app or in a book, you have that catharsis. And that really helps. I know you didn't ask me for my resolution. My resolution is to wake up each day in the new year thinking about five people I'm grateful for.
Oh, that is interesting. Is there five different people every day?
5 different people every day. So I've connected with all kinds of people already in my life who I never would have thought about.
Will it take you a while to think about who those people are every day?
Well, repeats are allowed if you're particularly grateful for a people. Oh, yeah. It's not meant to be nerdy.
What about mindfulness? Is it good to practice some mindfulness for stress and listen to soothing music and doing those breath exercises, 2 minutes every day to relax?
Absolutely. There is an emotional and spiritual reason why we can control our breath out of volition, and that is when you breathe slow and deep, you just can't be anxious at the same time. So very, very powerful tool to slow down and do deep diaphragmatic breathing whenever you're anxious.
But could you get anxious about not doing it correctly, your mind wandering?
Well, I think if you have a perfectionist disposition and if you want to win the meditation Olympics, then this is going to be counterproductive. In practices like this, meditation and mindfulness, it is the loser who wins. So keep that perspective.
Well, there you go. Kit, do you do any mindfulness or practice meditation?
I actually do, yes. It's not app-driven, but every morning I try and have a little bit of a think about what I'm going to do in the day and be thankful for what happened the day before and just try and enjoy what's about to happen.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much, because these are very good hints. I'm going to give them a shot myself. I'm trying to do some mindful exercises. It's not that easy. My mind just races a mile a minute. Amit Sood, professor of medicine with the Complementary and Integrative Medicine Program. That's at the famous Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Kit Eaton, the columnist for the New York Times. He writes the AppSmart column there. Thank you both for joining us today, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You're welcome.